Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning and welcome to a special edition of Daryl Hikes Live. So this is the Athlete's Church. So I am so looking forward to today's show because I've got a young man on the program that I think he's got great things in front of him. So let's pray, get right into the show. I'll give you a little bio on him and then we'll go from there. Heavenly Father, thank you for another opportunity of being able to minister your word. I thank you that today's show is designed to inspire. It's designed to bring things to people that they can benefit from, especially athletes out there, non-athletes as well. I thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for all of us. I thank you that this is just a great opportunity to share the love of God with people and the grace of God and understanding grace and how God loves us, even in spite of all the things that we've done or are doing, that, you know, your love is right there for us. And so we just thank you for that. We thank you for Wednesday. Today is a day that you have made, and we choose to rejoice and be glad in it. And it's in the mighty, wonderful, majestic name of Jesus that we pray. And if you heard that prayer and you agree with it, then just say amen. All right. Okay. So I got a young man on the phone. Solomon, you want to say hi?
Morning, everybody.
Hey, what's going on, man? You good?
Yes, sir. What's going on?
Okay. Let's. You want to take your phone off speakerphone for me and then just put it up to your ear so that we can okay, there we are. You there?
I am.
All right, cool. Okay, cool. Now, Solomon James Foster is he's a senior at Aberdeen High School, and according to his bio here, it says he wants to major in mass communications, which when I saw that, I was thinking my wife has a degree in mass communications. She got it when she was out at West Georgia College, and so and he's been playing basketball for the last 4 years, so that make him a letterman senior year this year. Has a GPA of 3.7 and got a 19 on his ACT. So I think – now, did you plan on retaking that to score high?
Yes, sir, I did. I was going to retake it in April on the 13th. And I was planning, you know, going to get in the 20 club.
Oh, you're trying to get in 20 club.
Oh, yes, sir, absolutely.
Okay. Now, it says here that you're the top 10 in your class, and you're the only boy in the top 10. Is that correct?
Yes, sir, it is. I am, I'm proud of that, because education in black young men is not a priority anymore, and I wanted to show that it was still prominent in my thinking, and I'm excited that and honored that, you know, my hard work is paying off, and I'm able to show that by my class ranking.
Okay. And if I'm correct here, you're 6'8"?
I am. Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, how much do you weigh?
About 250. It's 245. I like the 245 side because it's lighter, but about 250.
So basically, I've got the next LeBron James on the line. Is that what you're saying?
Well, a little less athletic, but hey, I receive it. I believe it. I work hard enough, I can get it.
I like that. Now, it also says here that you mentor at the elementary school in Aberdeen. Can you kind of share a little bit about that?
Yes, sir. I started at the beginning of the high school year. The opportunity was presented to me, and I could not take it. I mean, how could I not take it? I was like, my chance to give back, my chance to instill some wisdom into the younger generation, the generation under me. And if I can do that as a positive act, and then I know it will pay off in the long run and I can be a good role model.
Oh, that's excellent, man. So you've already started the process of giving back. Now that is phenomenal. That is so good to hear. Okay,
yes,
well, we got a few questions. First of all, I just want to say, hey, welcome to the show. You know, I know you drove over from Aberdeen, Mississippi, being here in Atlanta and everything. Oh, you went to the game last night, the Hawks. But, well, the Hawks and the Houston Rockets played. What did you think about the game?
It was an awesome experience. It was only my second NBA game I have attended. But it was like a more intimate feeling because I had floor seats. I had all you could eat, all you could drink. I was more comfortable. I enjoyed the game. I got to see these awesome athletic people up close, and it was an awesome game. I enjoyed it. Even though the Hawks didn't win, you know, I still was repping for them. I still rooted for them, but I really enjoyed it. It was an awesome experience with my mother and father.
So wait a minute, man. You say the Hawks didn't win like you're not a Hawks fan. I mean, who are you going for? I need to know.
Of course, Atlanta Hawks.
Okay, I just got to make sure we don't cut the interview short. That's all.
Oh.
I hope not. Just got to make sure
yes,
everything
sir.
All right. You know, because I'm a Hawks. I'm a boys now.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I'm my dudes. I'm my dudes. Now, if you will, describe to us how you knew that you wanted to play basketball.
Well, it started my sixth grade year. My dad, you know, I was growing and growing and growing, and I did not have any inclination that I wanted to play the game of basketball at that time, except, you know, I started being around the game and watching the game more. And my dad said, son, you got to play something. You're too big and you're too athletic, you know, not to start to pursue any sports. You got to play something, but I'm going to let you decide. And then we were watching a football game. And one of the dudes got hit so hard, I think he broke his leg. And I was like, Dad, well, my pick is sure not going to be football. And I just, as I continue to watch basketball more and more, I continue to enjoy the game. It's like, wow, I like this. I can do this. So I went to my dad and I told my dad, hey, Dad, I want to play basketball. And from that point on, I started studying the game. And Dad took me outside and started showing me the fundamentals, the basics, dribbling, passing, rebounding. And I went on from there. And I grew a love for it and a passion for it, and I had to take it seriously because I know, you know, where as much is given, much is required. And I just, from that point on, during my junior high years, I really knew that I loved the game and I wanted to pursue it at a higher level someday.
Okay. So that being the case, it sounds like your dad has played. Have you ever had one of those instances where he actually beat you? That's okay.
I have. And it's recent. It is recent.
Wait a minute. Whoa. How recent? Because your dad is what? 48? 49? And you are what age?
18.
And how tall is your dad?
6'4".
And you're 16?
Yes, sir.
And he put it on you?
Let me explain myself. It was in a team setting. It was not a one-on-one because I would not dare let him bring any of that stuff in my house if it was a one-on-one. But it was in the team setting, and we had played them down to the wire. So, you know, most he hit a few shots, a couple of wide-open threes. But I'm not going to lie, it was a close game, and it was a possession where we had switched, and I switched on my Fossey. Yeah, in my head, I said, yeah, I'm doing this all day. I'm about to steal the ball, block the shot. You know, so I want to kill game on him. And the fact is, he posted me up, and he started banging me a little bit. He spun off, and he hit another jumper. And I said, the kill game is there. I said, you got to be kidding me. Next thing you know, I'm looking on social media, people hit me up. Your dad say he killed game on your book, your ankles and your toes. I'm like, you know, I see videos on Facebook. I'm like, this guy here is too happy. He has made a life accomplishment. But, yes, sir, he did end up beating me, though. But it was fun. All fun and all the game.
Oh, man. I'm still – I feel for you. I feel for you. But, wow, I guess we should move on to the next thing because
please.
That, yeah, that's that, Yeah, that's enough right there. Wow, that's
my heart is already aching again.
Yeah, that's tough. But you know what? In all seriousness, it's good that you have a dad or a parent that's willing to get involved and invest themselves in your athletic future and your athletic pastimes to where you're playing, you know, a sport that you like, that you're actually enjoying, and that you have an opportunity. And we're going to talk about that in a few minutes here as far as the next level is concerned. But before we go there, I'd like for you to tell us what transpired or what happened, what led you to put your faith in Christ, because this is called an athlete's church. And so when I say the athlete's church, a lot of the athletes that I bring on have a connection with Christ. And so I just want you to share with us a little bit about that.
Well, I can say that I've always been a church going young man, and I was raised in the church. My dad is a minister, and my grandfather was a pastor, and all my aunts and my mother and my cousins were a preacher's kid, and we were all risen in the church and brought up in the church. And I'm not going to say that I fully understood what I was getting myself into at the time, but you know, I was always put in that environment. And I just wanted to maximize the potential of it. But I knew I got baptized at the age of 13. Some people say, ooh, that's kind of late. But, you know, it's never too late to come and give your life to Christ. And from that point on, I saw spiritual growth in myself. And I saw just an evolution of me as a young man and how I grew to understand my religion more and who God actually was and what he does for me on a daily basis. And I grew to be more thankful of that. And I remember one night, in my junior high years, I used to be a little, hey, I used to stay getting into things. I'm telling you. And one night, you know, through my countless whoopings and fussings and through my downtimes when it comes to my books, I went down on my knees and I prayed to God. I said, Lord, please grant me the wisdom and the discretion to know that I need to do better and that I can depart from these ways of sin and I can avoid and make myself a better person. I can start improving myself so I can have the lifestyle I envisioned and that you have envisioned for me. And from that night on, I just saw a whole transformation. The next day I went. It was a major testing day for us, and I aced all my tests, A's.
Wow.
And I started speaking so prophetically to other people. I found myself using all these deep vocabulary words that I can't recall right now, so please don't ask. but I started my knowledge expanding, and I saw my understanding growing and my faith increasing even more. Like, wow, he actually did this for me. And he actually is building on what I asked him to build on for me. My spirit grew, and my love for Christ grew along with that. And that's when I knew, like, if I keep putting my faith in God and trusting in him, he will make everything all right. And I got the same with my father. It always sticks with me to this day. It's stay focused, stay positive, and stay humble in that order. But that's just a little background on how I grew in Christ. And it's growing every day, my love for him. And I'm grateful. I'm really grateful.
Wow, sounds like you're a preacher, man. at least that's what I got out of it. So tell us about your family. You've kind of touched on your family, but tell us about your family and your friends and, you know, the people that you're around on a consistent basis.
Well, my father's name is Dan Foster. He is a native of Oklahoma, Mississippi. And he is a great guy. I'm a reflection of him. If you want to know about my father, look at me and see how I move and act. I got some of my ways from him. But I'm not going to leave my mother out. I love my mother. Her name is Julia Foster, and she's a native and graduate of Aberdeen, Mississippi, and Aberdeen High School, the Bulldogs, which is the school I attend, of course. No less, you know, I got to rep the Bulldog Nation. But I love both my parents, and they just played such a vital role in my life. And I am so appreciative of all of the energy, the money, and all of the things that they poured into me, the wisdom, the fusses, the whoopings. I'm thankful for all of that, and they played such a vital role. But those are my parents. Welcome to the Fosters. But for my friends, I have a small circle. I'm cool with a lot of people, but people that I call my friends, there are far and few. And I only have one true best friend, and his name is Michael Jones, but we call him Kale. He is currently residing in California right now, Los Angeles. He's in L.A. He's moved out there for a couple of years now, and he's loving it. He is an upcoming producer and a rapper in the rap game. Check him out. His name is Kales. He used to go by Young Prophet, but he keep changing his name. I don't know why. But that's my buddy. That's my best friend. We've been knowing each other for almost a decade now. It dates back to the pre-K. But my circle is small, and I don't have many friends. I got a few childhood friends. I got a lot of classmates and friends, little friend girls. But, you know, those come and go. But these few friends I have now, especially my kids, they're homestays, mainstays in my life, and they support me daily. And he supports me daily, and so did his family. It's like my second family.
Okay. So you have any siblings?
Oh, yes, Lord. I had an older sister, but she passed away at birth. Her name was Zeta. And come to find out, my parents told me if she had went to live on, then I wouldn't be here because they wouldn't try to. They didn't want too many children, which I understood. So I see it as a blessing, you know, that happened for a reason. And because of her passing, I'm here today, and I'm able to share this story and share my life with the viewers and the listeners. And I have an older brother. He's 29. His name is Gary. He is a constant factor in my life. And he brings kind of the fun side out of me, loving side out of me. And he supports me daily. And he's given me two young nephews, Garrison and Grayson. Garrison was just born in March on the 3rd, and Grayson was born in May on the 5th. Grayson is 3 years old, almost 3 years old, excuse me. But I enjoy my nephews. I love them to death. They bad as mud, especially Grayson. But it's all love. And I love my brother. He has played a big part in my life, and he's taking me out there. He's shown me and got me connected with a few people when it comes to sports and athletics like that. But I love my brother. That's my only sibling I have, so
okay.
A lot of love goes into
him. Okay. So tell us about your high school sports life. You know, is basketball the only sports you played? You know, tell us about one of your best games, one game that maybe you didn't do so well. I don't want to call it the worst game, but
right.
One of those, you know, some funny stuff that's happened, the toughest player you played against, you know, kind of give us some insight into your sports life.
Well, of course, basketball is my main sport, but I played tennis for the past couple of years, and I loved it. Tennis always infatuated me. I was always infatuated with tennis, and it kind of piqued my interest one time when I went out there to watch because my basketball coach is also the tennis coach, head tennis coach. So I traveled with him. Again, I enjoy being around my basketball coach, so of course I want to follow him everywhere he goes because he taught me into playing tennis, even though I kind of wanted to play anyway because I always was down there with a racket in my hand, didn't know what I was doing at the time. always hitting balls out the fence and thinking I was, you know, a young tennis prospect too. But he taught me into doing it because he said it was going to help with my quickness and my hand-eye coordination and my reaction times. It just it all was going to help me tie that back to basketball, which it really did help, especially this year, going to my senior year. But, yeah, besides tennis, that's the only thing that I would enjoy playing. So that's the only other sport that I do play. But speaking of best games, I can say my best game was against Amy Panthers in the Monroe County tournament. I had 19-14 that game. I had 2 assists, about 3 blocks. I was just all over the court, rebounded well, and we had shut them down, like completely shut them down. My team's defense had them on lock that night because they only scored 9 points in the first half and only scored a total of 33 in the game. 25. They did bad. 25 in the game. We had them. So I think that was my best game. But speaking of a game where I didn't do too well, let's see. I think we were in Houston, Mississippi, playing against Grenada. I just came off another double-double. And we also came off a win against Amy the first time, but I didn't really have a good game, but that's not my worst game. That game I had 8 rebounds and 3 blocks, missed all my shots on the field, fouled out, had a tech. that was not a good game for me. I could go and delve into the games in my earlier in my career, but we're going to keep it current as possible. So I can, you know, give more of a recent account. But that was my worst game. The funniest thing that's happened to me, and that this is every game experience, is hearing my parents in the crowd cheering for me and fussing at the rails and just being characters that they are passionate about my play and passionate about the team and always interacted with the people and involved in the game. They make sure they get their money's worth when they come and see me and my team play. And they're always just so into the game. I'm like, passionate. I'm like, whew, I see where I get it from. But that was like the funniest thing. But, you know, you said funniest thing, so I had to pick one. There had to be. That had to be when we played Oklahoma. We played Oklahoma at home. The first game, they blew us out, that Prescott. But when we went to them, you know, that being my dad's alma mater, they wanted me to put on and show out of course. He wanted me to have a good game. I did, too, because they caught some scrum last game. I want to get them back. And I had a great game against them. I forgot the stats, but had a good game. And that first half had that whole gym quiet, had that team locked down. Daddy was open, acting up. Ooh!
You know him to cry.
Cry night, I'm telling you. Like, he was into it. And that was the funniest thing, seeing that my daddy, like, you know, just saw me get it. So I was happy. We had him the first half, but the second half, to put the press back on us and whew, gonna leave it at that. But if I could pick the funniest thing, it would be that game. Seeing my father just elated to see us just put it on his alma mater for our first half and play with him.
Okay. Well, who was the player that you would say was the toughest player to play against?
In my high school career, I'm gonna use this, but I'll make this more broad. The toughest player I had to guard and my team had to play against he was from Oklahoma too. His name was, I'm trying to remember. Cameron Smith. He gave our team the business. especially when we played him at home.
Hang on. You talking about Cam that wore number 22?
Yes, sir. That Cam right there.
My number was 22 at Oklahoma. Isn't that something?
Yeah, so coincidental. I know, right? But Cam, he was a do-it-all forward, about 6'7", could shoot it, handle it, was athletic, could dunk on you, Lord. I mean, like, I got my few points on him. I mean, one time I scored a little air one on him in the open court. I just knew I was doing something. But they beat us pretty bad. And he had a triple-double against us. And I'm just like, you know, no other player has done that. He scored 30 and had 13 rebounds and 10 assists. I'm like, Lord, where do you come from? You give me some of what you drinking and what you eat. But that's the toughest player I ever played against and had to guard on some kind of basis.
Okay. Wow, that's good stuff. Well, you know, with you being a senior, what are your college expectations? Kind of tell us what's going on in that world. We'll take about maybe 2 minutes to do that. So if you can just kind of let us know what's going on in that arena.
Well, my recruitment has been slow but steady. Like, I like weighing my options. I've got accepted into a few colleges, Chesapeake College and Wade Mills, Maryland. I've got accepted into Middlesex College in Jackson, Mississippi. They offered me $104,000 scholarship, academic scholarship, and a little bit more money on top of that when I score on higher on my ACT and when I get my financial aid done. And I just applied to Rush College not too long ago, and this is like one of the only colleges that like heavily recruited me. Rush College in Holly Springs, Mississippi. And right now we're just, you know, interacting with them and seeing what they're going to offer. I actually have an individual private workout I'm going to participate in on Friday. And I'm excited about that. And if they talking the right kind of things, the right button, the right things that they're going to do for me, and if I continue to like the environment, I think that would be the front runner of my college decision where I decide to play ball at in the upcoming next year.
All right, man, that's good stuff. So what we're going to do, first of all, I just want to say thank you for coming on the show, but you mind if I pray for you?
Absolutely.
All right. Heavenly Father, first of all, thank you for this young man. And I thank you that doors are open that no one can shut. I thank you that his athletic career and his life career is ordered by you, that everything that you would have him to do in this world gets accomplished. I thank you that whatever hindrances may be out there, that they're moved out of the way. I thank you that your presence is always with him. I thank you that he's favored. He is successful. I thank you that he has supernatural progress, supernatural favor, supernatural change of status. I thank you that he has a supernatural grace on his life. And I thank you that he makes a mark in this world for you that can never, ever, ever be erased in the area of athletics and in the area of academics and in the area of his career and in the area of just being a human being on this planet that has the love of God on the inside of him and understands the grace of God. And it's for that we give you thanks. And it's in the wonderful, mighty, majestic name of Jesus that we pray. And if you agree with that prayer, just say amen. All right. Well, good sir, we're gonna go ahead and take you off the line. Hey, thanks for coming on the show. I'm going to take the last few seconds to pray for the people, and then we're going to be out of here. Hey, we'll talk later. All right. So, hey, folks, if you're listening and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, here's your opportunity. Just repeat this prayer after me. Lord, I want you to be a part of my life. I exchange my sin for your righteousness. From this day forward, I choose to live the rest of my life for you. It's in the mighty, wonderful, majestic name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Hey, welcome to the family. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you later. Have a good day. Bye-bye.